Hi Year 4, I'm going to read you the first chapter of our text for this term, the Nowhere Emporium. So Chapter 1, A Chance Encounter. Glasgow, present day. Look out, coming through, oi! Watch where you're going, wee man. Sorry! Daniel Holmes darted through the Saturday shopping crowds in Glasgow, pushing and twisting and weaving. His lungs burned and his legs ached, but he did not stop. He couldn't stop. Spud Harper and his gang were chasing him, and everyone in the children's home knew that if Spud Harper was after you, you didn't slow down. Daniel wheeled left at a butcher's shop, almost slipping on a blood-red puddle. He turned into a narrow street lined with old building houses, fashion boutiques, restaurants and coffee shops. Carved stone angels and gargoyles seemed to watch the street from high above. Daniel's head swung right to left. Where next? He wondered how far he was from the bus station. He imagined jumping on a bus, headed to the coast, where he could stow away on a boat and escape from Glasgow and St. Catharines. Somewhere with no Spud Harper would be nice. Not crying for your dad? Spud yelled at him from somewhere back among the crowds. You were wailing like a baby in your sleep again last night. The whole home heard you. Daddy, Daddy, don't die, Daddy. Ha ha. Don't worry, wee man. When we're through with you, you'll have something else to cry about. Spud and his gang were bigger than Daniel and faster and stronger. Sooner or later, they'd catch him. He sprinted across the street, jinked into the nearest shop and slammed the heavy door. He clutched at his chest and watched through the darkened glass of the door, crouching out of sight. He could hear Spud's gang shouting as they thundered past. Where'd he go? Where is the wee weasel? Must be up here. Daniel's shoulders sagged. He closed his eyes and breathed deeply. The air was infused with the jumbled perfume of furniture polish and dust, and something like melting chocolate. Then he opened his eyes and for the first time became fully aware of his surroundings. The shop was a cave of wonders. Everywhere he looked, Daniel saw something he wanted to pick up, to hold, to have as his own. Silver and gold and crystal gleamed and sparkled in the light of the spitting fire. Intricate wooden clocks and mirrors of varying size and splendour covered the walls. Tiny fish flashed like bars of copper in a glass tank. There were porcelain dolls and wooden soldiers, rusted swords, stuffed animals, columns of books as high as the ceiling, jewels that seemed to glow with a silvery light. A stuffed polar bear sat in one corner, eyeing the shop like a watchman. Even particles of dust caught in a bar of light seemed to glow like stars. How did you get in here? We're closed, the voice startled Daniel. In the far corner of the room stood a grand desk with feet carved like eagle's talons. Behind the desk sat a small man in a dusty suit. His wavy brown hair was wild and tangled, falling over his handsome face. On the desk in front of the man lay a battered book. His hand hovered over a page, clutching a fountain pen. He stared at Daniel with eyes the colour of thunderclouds. Sorry, said Daniel. Didn't mean to bother you. Someone's chasing me. As he spoke, his eyes were drawn to the book on the desk, which had begun to tremble against the dark grain of wood, as if there was something in the pages trying to get out. Then the man in the suit frowned. He glanced from Daniel to the book and back. Then he snapped the book shut, locked it away in his desk and got up and marched past Daniel to the door. See, he said, pointing to a sign hanging on the door that read closed. Closed. He tried the door handle, opened the door. I could have sworn I locked it. He spun back to face Daniel, staring at him through narrowed eyes. Who's after you? Big boys from my children's home, the man raised an eyebrow. You're an orphan, Daniel nodded. The fire snapped and cracked. What happened to your parents, said the man. Daniel thought this was an odd question for a stranger to ask, but he didn't want to be thrown back out into the street, so he answered. Dad was a fisherman, died at sea. Mum only lasted a couple of years after that. This seemed to satisfy the shopkeeper. And why are those big boys after you, he said. There must be a reason. Daniel folded his arms. Yeah. There is a reason. They're goons. Spud and his pals think they run the home. They take things from other kids, important things like reminders of their parents and stuff. and nobody ever stands up to them. But I couldn't take it anymore. I followed them. I found out where they kept their stash. I got everyone's stuff back and explained that if the other kids stick together, Spud and his gang can't get to them. Spud didn't like that. The little man on the dusty suit jutted out his bottom lip and nodded, disguising a smile. Ah, bullies. I see. He wandered around from behind his desk. What is your name? Daniel. Daniel Holmes. Well, Daniel Holmes, I know how it feels to live life in a shadow of a bully. We have that in common. Really? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. You can wait in here until you are sure Spud and his gang are gone. Yes, sir. Thank you. It's no trouble, said the man in the suit. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have business to attend to. He turned and wandered towards a velvet curtain of rich, deep crimson at the back of the shop. As he reached for the curtain, he paused. Daniel, do you have a favourite animal? Animal? Daniel thought for a moment. It's a bit weird, he said, but I like magpies. People say they're the cleverest of the birds. There's a rhyme about them. Ah, said the man in the suit. One for sorrow, two for joy. Ah, that's the one. Very good, said the shopkeeper. He smiled to himself and said, well, I must be off. See you, said Daniel. Hey, maybe I'll come back and buy something from you one day. A fleeting smile crossed the man's face. Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. Return customers are very rare in this place. And with that, he was through the curtain and away. Daniel peered out of the window, which was tinted sepia so that the outside world looked like an old photograph. Grey Glasgow rain had begun to fall in fat drops. Puddles were already gathering on the road. Spud, Harp and his gang were long gone, but Daniel was keen to have one last look around before he left. He wandered towards the table scattered with metal toys. He picked two of the soldiers up, imagining that one was himself and the other Spud, Harper, and staged a fight between the two. Daniel's soldier was about to throw Spud off the table when something startled him, a soft fluttering sound. He dropped the toys and stared at the red curtain to the back of the shop. Another flutter. The curtain waved gently. He edged forward, his heart racing. When he was close enough, he reached out a trembling hand and slowly, gently touched the material. A burst of red velvet, the sound of flapping wings, and two silver birds exploded from behind the curtain. Daniel ducked and spun, and the birds flew across the store and landed on a column of stacked books. They were magpies, but they were no magpies Daniel had ever seen. They were made of brilliant gleaming silver, every feather delicate as a shaving of ice, reflected the flames of the coal fire. The silver magpies fixed him with shining ruby eyes, twitched their heads to one side. How? Whispered Daniel, treading softly towards them. Though they did not shy away as he advanced, when he was close enough, he reached out a hand. Are you real? His fingers touched upon the cool silver of one magpie's wings. The bird let out a call and flapped away, leading its twin back towards the curtain. But when they reached the red velvet, the birds did not fly through. Instead, they exploded with a flash, and a shower of rubies rained down on the shop floor. Daniel's mouth hung open. What's going on out there? Came the shop owner's voice from behind the curtain. What was that sound? Nothing had better be damaged. Suddenly, unsure of exactly what he'd seen or what kind of place he'd stumbled upon, Daniel made for the door. A little bell sang as he dashed out into the rain and down the street. A moment later, the short man in the dusty old suit stepped from behind the curtain. He stared around the shop, then he leaned over and plucked two of the magpie's rubies from the floor, rolling them between his thumb and finger. His hands closed around the stones, and when they opened once more, the magpies were sitting in his palm, brilliant silver, almost glowing in the gloom. The man in the suit released the birds and watched as they circled the shop before settling once again on a column of books. Then he smiled a wide, clever smile and disappeared back through the curtain.